The words given to us today is Luke chapter 19 verses 11 to 27. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be a king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" Amen. Jesus is passing Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho is located 25 kilometers away from the northeast of Jerusalem. It is one of the oldest cities on earth and also has the lowest altitude. As we have learned multiple times in the weeks before, Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man at the entrance to Jericho. According to the book of Mark, his name was Bartimaeus. Also, Jesus called out the name of a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus, who climbed a sycamore tree, went to his house, and declared that he was indeed the son of Abraham. The disciples believed that when Jesus went to Jerusalem, the kingdom of God will unfold at once in front of them. This wrong perception of the disciples had to be corrected. This is why Jesus tells the following parable. Verse 11 testifies, "While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once." Now, the disciples were very excited. Also, at the time, it was the Passover season, which is the biggest and the largest religious holiday of the Jewish, which was just around the corner. So a lot of people were either staying in Jericho or passing through Jericho. The disciples were teeming with excitement to go up to Jerusalem as quickly as possible, with the thought of proclaiming Jesus as king and receiving attention from such a huge audience. Verse 12 to 13 testifies, he said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.'" The historical background to this parable dates back to about 30 years ago, where Herod Archelaus, who inherited the land of Samaria and Judea, located in the southern Israel, left for Rome in order to officially proclaim his title as king from the Roman emperor. The most important term in this verse is a man of noble birth. We tend to focus more on the word minas. We tend to think, could it be that others got more minas than me? Or the same minas have different values. What if my mina has lower value than compared to others? However, it does not matter whether the 10 servants received the same amount of minas or not. It also does not matter whether one's minas look more valuable than that of others. What matters is that the minas given to oneself was originally not that of the servants, but rather were given to them by a man of noble birth. And he specifically ordered to put the money to work until he comes back. Verse 15 testifies, he was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. Time has passed, and the man of noble birth came back to check how the servants put the money to work. In verse 13, the man hands out the minas to the servants, asking them to go to work with it. And in verse 15, he comes back to check the results of how the servants did. Now, this is seemingly a natural flow of events. However, there is verse 14 in between, which testifies, but his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We don't want this man to be our king." Going back to that historical background, this refers to the situation where the Jewish leaders who hated Herod Archelaus sent a delegation of 50 people to Rome in order to prevent him from being appointed as the official king of the regions he was inherited. This scene seems non-substantial to the whole minas parable, and it might actually make more sense if verse 14 was not included. However, the gist of the minas parable is actually in this verse. The reason why Jesus mentioned this parable is not to talk about Herod Archelaus, but rather to mention the fact that the outcome will differ when putting minas to work, based on how the servants perceive their master, who is essentially the man of noble birth. The Jewish people hated Archelaus and thus prevented him from earning the official title of king, and it turned out to be so. However, according to the words of the Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, who is our eternal king and eternal man of noble birth, is above every name, and the one where every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, at the name of Jesus, and the one that every tongue should acknowledge as Jesus Christ the Lord, If we do not acknowledge Jesus as such, then we cannot work our mean as the right way or gain more from the given minas. Today's parable ends in the following way. Verse 27 testifies, "But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." The reason why the man of noble birth is enraged is because the enemies did not want him to be king. We all received minas from God, but the starts and the process of gaining or not gaining more minas all depend on whether we accept the one who gave us minas as our king or not. The man of noble birth gave one mina to each of the 10 servants. Here, the number 10 does not simply refer to a number. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it testifies to the God who created the heavens and the earth. As in the verse, "And God said, let there be light," the phrase relating to creation, which is "God said," is mentioned for a total of 10 times. Therefore, the Jewish believes that God has created the heavens and the earth with only 10 comments. Also, in the book of Genesis chapter 11, it mentions the account of the family line of Sam, who is the son of Noah. This account also spans a total of 10 generations from Noah, who was the middle ancestor, to Abraham, the father of faith. The number of disasters inflicted on Egypt during the exodus of the descendants of Israel was also 10. And what Moses received on behalf of his people on Mount Sinai was also 10 commandments. In essence, the number 10 in biblical sense represents wholeness or sufficiency. Therefore, handing out one mina to each of the 10 servants means that the 10 minas were evenly distributed in whole, befitting each of the servants. The servants who received the minas were categorized into three groups. When the man of noble birth has returned after some time, each servant came before him to speak about what they have gained. The servant in the first group comes forth and says, in verse 16, "The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.'" Essentially, the first servant has earned tenfold of what was given to him. Now, we do not know how long it took for the man of the noble birth to come back home. The first servant simply mentions in one sentence what he has done, but the single sentence is a testimony to all the work he has put in while the master was away. The decisive reason why the servant was able to work so hard is evident in his words, which says, "Your mina." This servant did not deem the minas to be from his parents, nor wholly from what he earned. Rather, he had the mind of a strict stewardship and managed the minas as the one that was delegated with the minas. This was not his own mina, and thus he could not waste it away and worked even harder to gain more minas. To this, the master answers as the following. Verse 17 testifies, "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." The master's reply also can be divided into three different answers. First comes the compliment, reason for the compliment, and the corresponding reward of assuming new responsibilities. The reason why the master said, "my good servant," and not "my capable servant," was because the servant was faithful to the orders of his master, and not because he gained more minas. The master was essentially praising the servant of the process of doing business and not the result of doing business. The servant was rewarded in turn with the right to take charge of 10 cities. Ruling over cities is originally the role of the master. It is essentially sharing the happiness of the master. This is why, in the book of Matthew, the parable of the talents rewards the servant by saying, "Come and share your master's happiness." What we need to focus here and really take to our hearts is the master's saying of, "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter." A single mina in those times that the servant was granted was worth 100 days of labor. The average annual income of a worker in Korea in 2018 is about 36.34 million Korean won. If we were to convert a single mina to Korean won, this would be about 10 million Korean won. Now, this is not a small amount of money, but it is not enough seed money to start a business. You cannot rent a store with this money, or even if you could rent one, it certainly does not cover expenses for the interior or other equipments as necessary. Of course, you might be able to open a street vendor by buying a good quality cart. Or you could buy a 1-ton used truck and sell agriculture produces or dried fisheries. As can be seen, in terms of starting a business, a single mina may seem very small. However, it was through this very small matter that the servant was able to be faithful to his master's directions. Likewise, what we have usually starts from these very small matters. Large corporations in this world have started off as small matters as well. The company started from carts, bicycles, or even small-sized used trucks. It also started from the corner of a small store or even a barn. We see lots of TV programs related to food these days. The start of a famous cook or chef also may have been small. For instance, it may have been such a small thing as deciding to add a little something to his usual dishes, which turned into a unique recipe of his own, or may have been from a simple banal experience of hearing the sound of a knife hitting the cutting board, or the sound of ingredients being chopped. Everything may have started from experiencing this beautiful sound. Additionally, the current position or the current work that one is doing may have started off as a very small matter. Everything indeed starts from a very small matter. The relationship one has with his or her partner or a close friend who's even more close than one's siblings may have started off as a simple or small encounter. If what started off as something so small has budded into what we enjoy today, then we can acknowledge that there is nothing so small or meager in this world after all, and also vice versa. Haven't we all experienced the moment where something seemed so big at the time, but in retrospect, it was nothing? As we are limited human beings, we do not have the capacity to determine whether whatever unfolds in front of us is a huge matter or a small matter. We do not get to make that decision. Rather, God, who has created us, is the strength of our own, and the one who gave us the minas will be the judge of that. Only when we can truly accept this can we be faithful to God with the minas that he has entrusted upon us. The servant from the second group now comes forth to Jesus and says in verse 18 to 19, "The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. The second servant also gained 5-fold more of what was given. The master said, "You also take charge of 5 cities. The first and the second servant each gained 10 and 5 minas respectively, and was rewarded with the responsibility to rule over 10 and 5 cities respectively. Other than the sheer numbers of that, everything else was the same. The second servant was also faithful to the minas that he was given. But the accounts of the third servant was a little different. The words of the third servant is testified in verses 20 to 21. "Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' When the first and second servants came forth, the master reckoned them as the first and the second. Then it naturally follows that the third servant should be called as the third. However, the Bible verse testifies that this person was called another servant. This another servant literally means another person. Specifically, the word another sets apart this man as intrinsically and qualitatively different from the others. In other words, this man lived a completely different life from those of the preceding two. This servant took 1 mina and brought it back as it is. This does not mean that it is fortunate that you maintained the principle as it is. The biggest fault of this servant was that he perceived his master as a hard or strict man on his own. In other words, the strict image of the master was wholly made up by the servant's own thinking and not the actual image of the master. Therefore, he thought that if he gained more minas, the master will probably take it away from him, and if he lost some of the principle, the master will ask for compensation in proportion to the loss. That's why he thought it best to just keep the principle as it is. But this was indeed an insult to the master, which means the servant had no respect for the master at all. The master was actually generous enough to give rewards to the servants who gained 10 and 5 minas each in proportion to their hard work. However, the servant did not perceive his master as such a generous man. The master reacts to the servant in the following way. Verses 22 to 23 testifies, "His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? The master scolds the servant by saying, If I really was truly as hard as you thought I was, then why didn't you deposit my money in the bank so that I have collected it with interest? This is like saying, if I were to give you the minas in order to gain even more minas, then I would have just deposited my money in the bank to get the principal plus the interest rather than handing it out to you. How can you do this to me when I have entrusted the minas to you? It seems like the master was saying so. The master probably knew what kind of a servant this man was. Nevertheless, he chose to give him another chance and handed out the minas. But the servant failed to understand his master's words. This should be a wake-up call for all of us. God also fully understands what kind of people we are. Even so, He entrusted the minas to befit each of our situation. We must not forget that laziness is highly correlated with our spiritual standing. If you are acting lazy in your relationship with God, this means that you are already spiritually drifting away from God. The punishment given to this servant is testified in verses 24 to 26. Then he said to those standing by, Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. We probably thought at this point that it would have been better to take away two or three minas from the first servant with 10 minas and give it to the third servant. However, in living the life of faith, this does not happen. We often see that those who have more minas receive more, and those with one mina gets stripped away of even that one mina, rather than taking two or three minas from those who have 10. Every year, towards the year end, the task for each church is to find volunteers and teachers who will serve for each team and Sunday schools for the year to come. What one hopes for is that people with more minas serve only one serving team or one Sunday school. However, this hope rarely gets fulfilled in most churches. The level of faith of the Christians constituting a church is all different, and the level of perceiving God is also different. Therefore, those who have more minas tend to gain even more minas, while those with less minas do not even know that their minas are being taken away. The conclusion of this parable is the following, verse 27. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Now, the words used in verse 27 is a little unnerving. You might think, but how could the master order to kill the third servant who brought the mina as it is? But nowhere in the Bible it says explicitly that this person was actually killed. This is just an expression of extreme anger. In Korea, when parents get angry with kids, they also say something on the lines of, You are no longer my child. I will scrape your name off the family registration. Get out. Upon hearing this, if a child says, "Okay, I will, bye," then this will be even more scarring to the parents. What the parents were probably expecting was for the child to say, "Mom, Dad, I'm sorry, I will not do that again," and then turn around from his or her mistakes. Therefore, in the book The Message by Eugene H. Peterson, the verse 27 is translated as, "Take these enemies who petitioned against my ruling away from me. I do not want to see their faces ever again." God, who is the eternal man of noble birth, granted minas to us. How much we will be able to gain from these minas depend on how we perceive God, who bestowed these minas to us. If we do not acknowledge God as God, who is the king who rules over us, then we can only mutter the words, "Oh, I have led a life of foolishness," when we stand in front of God. During my years in the Master of Divinity program after I graduated university, I had a few unchanging prayer lists regarding my ministry. And one of them was, "God, let me serve in a church where they do not judge me by my resume on paper, but by the life I have led." I did not want to have an employer-employee relationship with the church that I would be serving. And I also wanted to lift myself towards God in a church that I believed had a special calling for me, and to act in that faith, no matter if the church was huge or small, was located in Seoul or not, and no matter the type of ministry. So in the first week of July 1992, the first church I got to serve in was the Sunday School for High School Students of the Lord's Church. Through the introduction of an acquaintance, I met with the assistant pastor of the Lord's Church Sunday High School team for an hour and a half, and also met with the director and the director for education of that team as well. I also had an interview with Pastor Lee Jae-ter, who was the senior pastor of the Lord's Church. Until then, I still did not write up my resume. After Pastor Lee had interviewed me, he had to introduce me in front of the whole session, and I needed my resume for that occasion. Now, it was difficult to get a printing paper for the resume on Sunday morning, so I copied one of the resumes of a church staff via the church printer. I erased the words on the original copy with a whiteout, recopied the now blank resume template, and manually wrote down my resume details on that template. The copier was not as good as it is nowadays, so the resume was not so ideal, and I did not even paste my picture on that resume. It was indeed embarrassing to show my resume to others. I even thought that because of this resume, I might not be able to serve in this church, and I may even get criticized because of this ugly resume on top of being rejected. After Sunday service, I went to meet with Pastor Lee, and Pastor Lee took a good hard look at my resume and said, "The resume of a minister should not be written on a piece of paper. Rather, it should be written in the actual life of the minister. As an assistant pastor, once you leave this church and goes to serve another church, and that church asks the congregation of the Lord's Church for reference about what kind of a person Pastor Chung Han-jo was, if they nod, then you have written up a good resume. If they shake their heads, then it means that you have written the wrong resume. Let us endeavor to do our best. From that point on, for 8 years and 6 months, I was able to write a single-line resume with my life that read, "I served for the Lord's Church." I was able to write another line of resume for 6 years as I was called to the Korean Protestant Church in Geneva, Switzerland. Then I was again called to the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, and I am writing yet another line of my resume for the past 13 years, starting from December 2007. In this line of resume is all of my life and ministry for the past years. The initial grader of my resume is all of you, the congregation of this church. If you look at my life's resume and nod, then I have and I am writing my resume in the right direction. If you look at my resume and shake your heads, this would mean that I am writing it in the wrong direction. We all write our own resumes and lives. The resume that we write with our lives can neither be fabricated or falsified. Each of our own resume will also be met with either a nod or a shake of the head. Above all, we are all writing our resumes to be graded by God, who will be the final evaluator of our lives. The moment we heave our last breath on this earth and stand before God, He will read out our resumes of our life and faith. At that time, if God gives a nod, then it means that we have left behind many Minas. But if God shakes His head, then it means that we have kept our Minas laid away in a piece of cloth. And at that point, we cannot go back. Today is the fourth Advent week. The reason why we have Advent week and Christmas, so that we could wait for God who has come and who will be coming again, is only because God is also patiently waiting for us. If you believe that your life has not left behind a lot of Minas, then let us turn around in the remaining 10 days before the year 2020 ends. If you are already leaving behind a lot of Minas, let us groom and cater them so that those Minas become even more faithful and beautiful. The resume written through one's life, and the one that leaves behind lots of Minas, faithful Minas, is truly the one who looks to God for His strength. To them, the Advent and Christmas season will be overfilled with grace, peace, life, and hope. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for entrusting us and granting us the grace to serve the fourth Advent week. If we led the lives just like the servants who left behind 10 and 5 Minas, then we truly thank you, God. This is because you have bestowed your grace upon us wholly, and reigned in us for the small or big matters in our lives. Let us continue to turn our eyes towards you, God, who is our strength, and by doing so, allow us to lead lives so we can leave behind more faithful Minas. If our lives were like that of the third servant who kept the Minas away in a piece of cloth, then please have mercy on us and grant us the faith of courage to turn our lives away from such a life. No matter what kind of lives we lead, once we heave our last breaths on this earth, let us not forget that our lives will be evaluated before you, God. Please also let us not forget the fact that we are writing our resumes with our own day-to-day lives. We wish for our resumes not to be written to satisfy others, but to be written to the satisfaction of your nod. Let us truly accept you as the strength of our lives and correct ourselves to write the faithful resumes with our lives for not only the remaining days of the year 2020, but also the year 2021 and the rest of our lives till our last day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.